The reading this morning comes from the book of Psalm 42 and 43. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From those who are deceitful and unjust, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you cast me off? Why must I walk about mournfully because of the oppression of my enemy? O, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Maggie. Blaise Pascal wrote in the 17th century that there was once in us a true happiness, of which there now remains only the mark and empty trace, which we in vain try to fill with all of our surroundings. But these are all inadequate, because the infinite abyss can only be filled by an infinite and immutable object. That is to say, only by God himself. How often have each one of us gone through a period in life feeling that something essential is missing, and that there has to be something more to life? How often have we searched for that something more, only to try to fill up that God-shaped hole with something that is inadequate and not life-giving? The psalmist was able to see what was really at stake here, saying that our hearts yearn for a relationship with God in the same way that a thirsty deer longs for the cool, clear water of a rushing stream. In one of his most recent books, UCC minister and biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann describes the countercultural nature of the Psalms. In fact, he goes beyond culture to describe what he calls the counterworld of the Psalms. Brueggemann writes, "The Psalms voice and mediate to us a counterworld that is at least in tension with our other closely held world, and in fact is often directly at odds with that closely held world. As a result, we yearn for a counter world that is characterized by trust and assurance, because we know very often that our closely held world is not the best of all possible worlds. We are eager for a new, improved world that is occupied by the Good Shepherd, that yields help from the hills, that attests a reliable refuge and strength. That's why we continually line out these particular cadences again and again. That's why we want to hear them at the hospital, at the graveside, and in those many venues where our closely held world is known to be thin and inadequate. We want something more, and we want something other than our closely held world can possibly yield. As we envision that counter world, we hear the echoes of one who knew the Psalms by heart. And we hear of his proclamation of a new realm, a new way of being, a new paradigm for how human life is organized and lived. We hear the strains of Jesus proclaiming the kingdom of God, which is what the world would look like if God was immediately in charge of everything. It's what the world would be like if we lived in accordance with God's intention. Brueggemann outlines seven characteristics of that closely held world. And I would ask you to remember that this is our closely held world, not God's. And to consider these seven characteristics, when you recall the political rhetoric that you read or hear in the news every day. One, anxiety rooted in scarcity. We worry that if the goodies and the power are shared more widely, there will not be enough for us. Anxiety leads people to want to build walls and not bridges. Two, greed, which Brueggemann says requires fatiguing overwork, endless 24/7 connection, and insatiable multitasking, all in an effort to get ahead or in an effort to stay even or just not to fall hopelessly behind. Three, self-sufficiency. When Ezekiel quotes Pharaoh's claim that my Nile is my own, I made it myself. Or when we describe ourselves as self-made women and self-made men, we engage in the hubris of self-sufficiency. Four, denial. We believe the promises of Madison Avenue, even though our closely held world cannot keep its promises of safety, prosperity, and happiness for us all. We are willing to say that the emperor has wonderful new clothes, even though we know better. Five, despair. Because we cannot fully master and sustain such denial, and from time to time gasp before the truth that our world is not working, we wind up giving in to despair. Have you given in to despair in recent years? Six, amnesia. We think it is all too much. And so, as a result, we're all too happy to press the delete button that's labeled amnesia. Whether we need to forget the images of Auschwitz or Hiroshima or Columbine or children in detention centers on our border, we hit the delete key. Seven, a normless world. Brueggemann says the outcome of our narcissistic amnesia is a normless world because without God and without tradition and without common good, everything is possible. The dystopian world projected in George Orwell's 1984 and in so many recent films and video games is possible. You know, I know that Brueggemann is painting a pretty horrific picture, that our closely held world is a frightening reality that we see on the news every day. But it doesn't have to stay that way. A world beyond the death-dealing dystopian vision is possible, and it's echoed by the psalmist. We long for a different kind of realm, one that affirms the goodness of life and of God's creation. We long for the promised kingdom of God, what Brueggemann calls the counterworld of the Psalms. So these are his seven counterpoints. Instead of anxiety, we can rely on God's trustful fidelity. The psalmist cries out, "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" God's fidelity, God's covenant faithfulness can grant us courage for the facing of this hour. Instead of greed, the psalmist proclaims a world of abundance. The ground for such an abundance that refuses greed is the glad doxological affirmation that God is the creator who has blessed and funded the earth so that its gift keeps on giving. The doxological assumption is that when God's creatures practice justice, God's earth responds with new gifts. Three, instead of the delusion of being self-sufficient, we can acknowledge our ultimate dependence on God. We can see the miraculous nature of creation and of life and know that we did nothing to create or to deserve it, but that we are stewards responsible for preserving it. Instead of denial, the psalmist embraces what Brueggemann calls abrasive truth-telling. Abrasive truth-telling. Whether that is speaking the truth in love or announcing an inconvenient truth, the psalmist calls out injustice and falsehood. Brueggemann says the entire genre of lament, complaint, and protest constitutes a refusal of denial. And truth-telling requires courage. Five, despair, the hallmark of our times, despair can be overcome by a world of hope. This is the world the poet portrays by repeating the refrain in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him again, my help and my God. Hope in God. Hope in God. Which is not to say, do not hope in self. Do not hope in progress. Do not hope in luck. Hope is the great refusal to accept the shadowy culture of despair. Six. Lively remembering sets aside the cultural amnesia about the goodness and presence of God. The refrain of Psalm 136 echoes back the history of all that God has done for us, and it has this as its refrain: for God's steadfast love endures forever. If we don't take time for awe, that is, to reflect and to remember what God has done in the glory of creation, we lapse into amnesia. Seven, the psalmist's antidote to a normless world is normed fidelity. Our faithfulness to God through Torah, not meaning simply the law, but as Brueggemann claims, the entire legacy that is elastic and dynamic and fluid and summoning. It is the Torah that yields identity and perfect freedom. The Torah is indeed a gift to come down where we ought to be. Some would have us feel as though we are powerless to change the world, to change the course of our nation's history, and to change ourselves. This is not so. We don't have to slip into war with Iran. We don't have to launch global trade wars. We don't have to round up productive members of our society as if they were animals living in a police state. We don't have to accept gun violence as normative. And it isn't because we're brighter, or wealthier, or more influential, or that we have more followers on Facebook. We aren't that self-sufficient. Another world is possible. The counter world of the psalmist, the kingdom of God proclaimed by Jesus, the world of hope. Remember the words of Paul the apostle, my dear friends. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We can learn to fill the God-shaped hole not just in ourselves, but in the culture, in the fabric of this nation, and throughout God's world. May it be so. Amen.